Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When was the last time you went to a grocery store at midnight? People who rely on food assistance from the federal government sometimes shop in the earliest of hours. That's when the new benefits arrive. By the time they can buy their next meal, their families are already really hungry. Now, a local business owner is inviting leaders in Washington to visit his grocery stores in small town and rural South Dakota. He wants politicians to see the human impact of the government shutdown. I talked with R.F. Bowie. He is president and CEO of G.F. Bowie Company. He also founded the nonprofit Team Bowie Cares.
Our story goes back to 1905. My great-grandfather, Gus Francis Bowie, started on the Yankton Sioux Reservation. At that time, our name was actually pronounced Boucher. It's spelled B-U-C-H-E, and it was Boucher. But his friends, or Kolas, as they say in Lakota, kept calling him Bowie, so he left it.
Okay.
So our story goes back that far. Today, we have 25 locations, a lot of Bowie Foods and Gus Stops after my great-grandfather, Gus. Those are our convenience stores. And then we've got some Bowie Ace Hardware and Lumber, and we also own and operate Al's Oasis.
So pretty expansive operation. And yet a strong nonprofit or guiding principle for helping the community as well. Tell me a little bit about the origins of that.
Most of our locations are located either on or near reservations throughout South Dakota. And so we've always, helped and seen the need because I'm extremely boots on the ground. We started a nonprofit, Team Bowie Cares, a while ago. We actually started off selling cases of water. We would give those to cancer patients, and the team would challenge me if we could raise $10,000 that I had to put a pink flamingo suit on and carry out groceries or all kinds of crazy stuff. But after one of the challenges was a 115-mile bike ride across our locations in a pink leotard, and I couldn't walk for 2 days. There's got to be a better way. But
it's personal right there.
Yeah, it is. But Team Bowie Cares, we have three pillars, which is hunger, help, and education. And the hunger piece comes back from when I was 7 years old, working with my dad in the grocery store in Gregory, South Dakota. There was a young mom that was coming through the check stand, and she didn't have enough money for groceries. And my dad went over and quietly gave the money so she could put food on her family's table that evening. And after she left, I asked my dad, why'd you do that? And he just said, R.F., when you're in this business, it's your moral obligation to make sure no one goes hungry. And I've just never forgotten that. The help piece comes. We do a lot with cancer patients. We just think that they're struggling enough, and so we want to try and help with some of their financial needs that aren't covered by insurance, or if they even have insurance. We have done clothing. We have done Christmas presents for those in need. Just recently, I bought a chainsaw and a bunch of tools for a guy in Allen, South Dakota that was his shed was burned down, and he helps people get enough wood in the winter, the people that don't have electricity out on the Pine Ridge Reservation. So we do a lot with those things all the time. And then finally, education. We have what we call as the Underdog Foundation. I got, quite frankly, I don't know if tired is the right word, but just watching all these scholarships go to the most intelligent, get the best grades and the best athletes, and quite frankly, a lot of times the most popular kids. And I just thought to myself, what about that kid that may not be as gifted athletically or gifted intellectually? or has to take a job, a full-time job, so he could help his parents with the mortgage. Or the girl that couch surfed and lived in 8 different homes her senior year and never really had a bedroom. To parents that have got killed in car accidents, and this kid has got to live with different family members. We give scholarships to those kids, and I'm pretty proud of the fact that to date that we've given nearly $500,000 in scholarships.
Hmm. For people who, you know, the grocery stores or the business is not nonprofit. You have this nonprofit organization, Team Bowie Cares. What's your message to other, you know, business owners in South Dakota who are running profitable businesses, even if times are very tough and it's hard to make a profit right now, about their responsibility or opportunity to intersect with people in need and be also participating in the nonprofit sector?
Well, you know, I never want to expect anything out of anybody because none of us know anyone's circumstances. And the only thing I can do is just ask people to give with their heart. There are a lot of families struggling out there now, and I can promise you, in the communities that we're in, our customers are extremely nervous. So these are customers that already are unemployed because there's no jobs out there for them to have. They are already living in a house with 14, 15 people, barely making ends meet, some of them without electricity or water. And now we are asking them to don't worry about all those things. Now they don't know how they're going to feed their family come the 10th of the month in South Dakota. And it just it saddens and sickens me.
Tell us a little bit about how SNAP benefits work in people's lives. What are you seeing in your stores?
Sure. So in South Dakota, SNAP comes out once a month. And it's on the 10th of the month. SNAP can be used for cold food only. And I, as I talk, sometimes people really don't understand that it's not anything and everything. It is for cold, edible food. And about 15 years ago, I was in a convenience store at midnight on the 9th of the month, or turned midnight turn the 10th at midnight, but mm-hmm. I saw a lot of customers that were buying sandwiches and little jugs of milk and hot dogs and packaged lunch meats and bread. And what is going on? Well, I realized that it was then that I realized that their SNAP benefits kicked in at midnight. And so I started having our stores that were in very economically depressed areas start staying open until about 2 o'clock in the morning, because it was obvious that those people just hadn't eaten. Mm-hmm. And so we do stay open later for those SNAP participants to come in. And I tell you, it's kind of a sad situation. You got parents coming in and they'll throw a blanket down and right inside the cart, and you'll have 2 babies or kids or 3 or 4 kids laying in the cart sleeping while the folks shop because they have not eaten in days. And that's what happened when SNAP benefits do come. I just don't understand why we can't figure this out.
You have said in an op-ed that you've written and distributed across the state that treating food access as a bargaining chip is a moral failure. We are hearing so much out of Washington about whose fault something is and who is to blame for the shutdown, who has access to reserve funds and who's not using it. And there's a lot of politicking going back and forth. But say more about this idea that treating food as this political bargaining chip being a moral failure.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you just said it. The most basic need there is food. And I just, these are people's lives. And I just don't understand why we can't at least figure that part out. We can disagree on other things all day long, but I don't think anybody can disagree that food is a necessity. And out where our stores are, they're not living on a reservation. They are surviving on a reservation. And so now to take that most basic need away, it's just despicable to me. It bothers me a lot.
What do you think needs to happen in the national conversation that's not happening? What are you not hearing that you want to hear policymakers discussing?
I want them to hear this. I want them to see, come to Pine Ridge, South Dakota, and see homes that have dirt floors and no water or electricity. Come see that and look at these families that are starving and then decide, no, yeah, we aren't going to give SNAP. Come do that, please.
What would your grandfather say about this moment?
Same thing. One of our core values is that we always do the right thing. And I tell this story all the time, and I'm very proud of it. My great-grandfather had his store count up to about 17 or 18 stores until the Depression hit. And he lost all but three of them during the Depression. But he paid every invoice, and he paid every invoice on time. And that's the integrity that I've grown up with through four generations. And we will always do the right thing, and even if that means going without.
Help us understand, as you run businesses in places with the circumstances you've described and the families and the situations that you've described, what does a store provide to a local economy as well, and how do SNAP benefits intersect with that, with the business model essentially?
Well, now you're going to get me super passionate about that because I am. I used to sit on the National Grocers Board, and I now do some. I'm very active in the legislative committee, and I go and lobby in D.C. often on things that I care deeply about. One is SNAP, and the other one is fair competition, and I could talk all day about how rural grocers are getting forced out of the market. But I'm watching these dollar generals and super centers destroy these small towns. And when that grocer goes, who's sponsoring the ball team? Who's helping at the church bazaar? Who's providing local jobs? Who's going to help that family that had a house fire and provide the food for a benefit for them? Once us guys go away, we certainly can't count on those other two competitors that I just talked about to step up and do anything good. The local grocer is extremely important. And my dad said it to me 100 times, my grandpa before him. Grocery stores are the backbone of every community.
What are you asking Congress to do right now?
Figure it out. That's all I can say is figure it out. We are playing with people's lives, and figure it out.
You have a current initiative. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on there?
Our current initiative is a SNAP relief fund, and we are going to give as many SNAP households $100 worth of groceries. Team Bowie Cares we've committed $250,000 to help feed SNAP families, because if SNAP funds are not processed by the government I don't know how long it takes to load those cards, but I'm not optimistic that the 10th of the month is going to get here and that those SNAP funds are going to be in place. And so we have established this SNAP Emergency fund, and we're trying to give those families at least $100. And that, you know, I know that does not get them where they need to be, but at least it's something. And I would invite anyone, whether they can afford $100 or $10,000, to help feed people. I just think it is, going back to my great-grandpa, it's the right thing to do.
How much of that money goes to administrative costs? How much of the donations go directly to the programs?
0 and 100%. That's extremely important to me. When somebody gives me $100, I take that very seriously, and I want to make sure they know it is going to get the food out to the people.
R.F. Bowie is president and CEO of G.F. Bowie Company. He operates grocery stores, convenience stores, and restaurants in 25 locations across South Dakota. That's our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. You can find all the In the Moment shows and interviews on the SDPB website. Go to sdpb.org. And you can listen or download from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. Tell us what you like, what you want to hear, and why public radio matters in South Dakota. I'm Lori Walsh. From all of us here at SDPB, thank you for listening.